40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. Monday marks the day when the Treasury Department says the U.S. will default on its bills. So time is ticking after last night's House vote passing legislation to raise the debt ceiling.
Following last night's overwhelmingly bipartisan House vote for the debt ceiling bill, the Senate Majority Leader is aiming for quick movement on his side of the Capitol.
I hope we see nothing even approaching brinksmanship.
Democrat Chuck Schumer says with the House now out for the weekend, any attempt to amend the bill in the Senate risks default.
Time is a luxury the Senate does not have.
He's urging fellow senators to agree to a swift vote on final passage with no changes. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
President Biden took a hard fall on stage after a commencement speech in Colorado. The White House says the president is fine. Former President Trump spoke about the fall during a speech in Iowa.
He's at the Air Force Academy. He actually fell down. Well, I hope he wasn't hurt.
The number of missing after a partial building collapse in Davenport, Iowa on Sunday has been revised from 5 to 3. Police Chief Jeff Bladel.
We still had a third unaccountable that we're working with the VA. His name is Daniel Prien. His apartment was also related to the area where we had the collapse in the building.
An alleged serial killer was arrested in Austin.
62-year-old Raul Mesa is being described by Texas law enforcement as the worst of the worst. Convicted of raping and murdering an 8-year-old in 1982, Mesa was released after serving only 11 years of a 30-year sentence. He's now admitted to Austin police to 2 recent murders, Detective Katie Connor.
We have between 8 and 10 cases that kind of fit the similar circumstances.
Mesa was taken into custody Monday, Deputy U.S. Marshal Brandon Fila.
He had a bag with him contained zip ties, duct tape, and a .22 caliber pistol.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
There's billions of dollars stored on payment apps, but the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says it may not be protected by federal insurance. CBS News correspondent Christopher Cruz reports.
The CFPB says you should transfer your balances to insured banks and credit unions. The agency says the money might not be safe if the company behind the app runs into financial trouble. More than 3/4 of adults in the United States have used a payment app. About 85% of those 18 to 29 have done so.
A winning session for the stock markets. The Dow gained 153 points. The S&P 500 added 41. The NASDAQ finished 165 higher. This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Most of Wisconsin's Republicans in Congress voted for the new debt ceiling deal, while the state's 2 Democrats voted against it. Tom Tiffany was the only Republican to vote against the deal. He says it doesn't cut enough spending. Wisconsin's 2 Democrats object to welfare-to-work requirements. The deal now heads to the U.S. Senate. Wisconsin's biggest business group is threatening to sue in order to block stricter limits on surface water pollution. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce says the cost of the proposed regulations go beyond what's allowed under state law. Christy Minahan of the DNR tells WisPolitics the agency will likely make some changes before sending a final version to the Natural Resources Board for approval in September. In sports, the Brewers beat Toronto last night 4-2. The rubber match is this afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook any cut people.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I'm really happy to have Alex Bufflehead on today, and I had to coerce her. I don't know. I have to buy her a coffee next time I see her, but I'm really excited to have her on because we're going to talk about a couple things like that happened today and kind of what she does for Native American Community Development Institute. And then she's in a band, too, so it's just going to be an all-encompassing interview with Alex. Thank you so much for coming in. At this short notice, I know Robert is up north, and I think he told me, but, you know, Alex, I got a good memory, but it's short.
Me too, so it's all good. Maybe apologies to our audiences, but...
Cool. Fun. Well, I appreciate you being on, but let's talk about today. Haley and I were at the Powwow Grounds with the Four Sisters event that we love, and I love to go out there. I know that in years past you've helped out with that, but you're also there as a supportive a co-worker, and it's always a good time to go see people and walk around and peruse around, and there was a band today.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. The Four Sisters Farmers Market, it's a weekly market that takes place on Thursdays for those who haven't heard of it or been there, located on the American Indian Culture Corridor on East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And so today, the band Pretendians, who they're not pretend Indians, I always kind of chuckle when I hear their name, but they were playing today and trying out new songs for the new album that's going to be released soon.
Yeah, and it was just a great vibe. I had a fry bread pizza, which, you know, is not good for my waist, but I had only a couple pieces and I handed out a couple, and then I had a couple more before I got on the show tonight. A delicious coffee shop. Your beautiful, you know, I want to say museum, but it's an art area. That work in there, Haley and I walked in there, and that I've seen it a couple times already since being at the Powwow Grounds. Speak on that. That is just what you have in there right now is beautiful.
Thank you so much. So NACDI, we kind of, maybe other Robert Willigren talks to this, but for new listeners, NACTI is a Native-led nonprofit organization, and we kind of focus in three areas of arts and culture, voter engagement, and food access. And so through the arts and culture kind of area, we have an arts gallery called All My Relations Gallery, and it's, I believe it's one of the two longest standing kind of arts Native premier galleries in the Midwest and in Minneapolis. And currently we're exhibiting a show called Pitwewetam, which means Pitwewetam making his music, and it's on view until June 10th. And so this exhibition presents artwork, beadwork, regalia from the Gufson family. I have problems with pronunciation, so I apologize if I'm saying it wrong. But of Shannon, Ryan, Justine, and Jade, and they honor their son and brother, Pitwewetam, Rolling Thunder, who is the late Jesse Gufson, who traveled on to the spirit world in his car accident in 2015. And so it's really powerful and kind of a healing place for folks to come and just see how this family is celebrating their relative through different art forms.
Wow.
And it's Haley, from Canada.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Haley, yeah. What did you think? I know that was the first time that you saw it. Haley, were you as amazed as I was about the beadwork and the beautiful dresses and the baby cradles, the moccasins?
Yes, I was. That was my first time being at the Powwow Grounds, actually. So, yeah, we walked in, saw the cute little coffee shop, which their menu was amazing. And then, yeah, the art gallery with everything was beautiful. It was like a circle with ribbon skirts. And, I read all the stories on top of them, too. People wrote their stories of losing their loved ones, and it made me really emotional. And I had to stand there and read every single one, and just to pay my respect, and walked around and looked at all the amazing beadwork and stitching that goes into that, and just realizing how much time that probably takes. I mean, I can't even imagine, but it was so beautiful. And if you haven't been out there, definitely it's worth going out there and looking and taking a look for sure.
Yeah, and it's ending June 10th, as Alex said. I think there's things in the gallery over the times, but what I heard is that this is one of the most talked about ones that you've had in a long time, Alex.
Yeah, I believe the Star Tribune named it like the top three summer exhibitions in their calendar. I could be mistaken, so I kind of want to share that humbly. But it is, and on June 7th, on Wednesday, we're going to be hosting kind of like a virtual closing, since the curator and the artists are in Canada. But I'm going to put in the chat the link to the Eventbrite for folks. Curators Jean and Leanne Marshall will be joining artist Shannon for a discussion about the exhibition and talk about love and grief and the act of giving.
Yeah. Powerful, 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 powerful. Native American Community Development Institute does so much for the corridor, and it's fun because we've had a lot of the people that work with you on at the same time on Native Roots Radio, and of course Robert usually stops in every Thursday, and it's just really, it's powerful, and it's powerful what you guys do, and in the vibe that I feel with all the workers there that work there. I can't really explain it, but I really like to go there and say hi to you and hi to your coworkers. And Destiny did a really good job.
Yeah, it's a special place. Thanks for saying that. I think there's the fact of there being a gathering space for folks to have coffee and see art. It just feels a lot warmer than in the market, instead of maybe other places where it's just kind of go in a room and it's maybe quiet and you're kind of like, am I invited? Where here it's like you see people or you meet people and they're just so warm and welcoming and inviting.
Yeah, and I'm excited too, because you know, this is my go-to place. If I'm working, I can still get over there for at least an hour during lunch, and I love coming in and seeing people. I saw a bunch of Ho-Chunks there, you know, sneaking in and out, you know, but we were there and represented it. And Destiny's a Ho-Chunk who's now the curator, I guess would be the word, of the market.
Yeah, Destiny, this is her first season kind of managing and leading the market. And if folks are interested or available next week, she's going to do another raffle. So just find her at the market table and say that Native Roots sent you. And and then the following week on the 15th, we're going to be doing a food share demo with Derek Nicholas. And he will be making a recipe with the Dream of Wild Health CSA box. So there'll be like a food tasting on the 15th. On Thursday.
Wow. Well, I better get there in time because you know how I like the food taste. That's awesome. Hey, we're here with Alex Bufflehead of NADCI, Native American Community Development Institute, here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And we're just talking over a beautiful day. And I want to get into what you do besides this. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that, because I'm excited to talk about it. Hey, we're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa!
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
The show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Yes, it is. Hey, we're here with Alex Bufflehead, and we're talking, we're talking about the Avenue and Franklin Avenue and the great things that Native American Community Development Institute does here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and specifically Franklin Avenue. Alex, I want to ask you about your other career. And I know we were talking a little bit about it today when we were, I want you to talk about the band you're in.
Okay, cool. For a second, I was like, wait, which gig? Because I do a little bit of art curation on the side too, but I love talking about music too.
Wow, yeah. Cool. Well, tell us a little bit about the group you're in. And I know it's awesome. You have family members that are in this, so tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so it's a family band, but not like the Partridge Family. We're a little bit maybe a little bit more fun than them. But the name is Blue Dog, and The name comes from the name of the lake in Sisseton. I think my mom wanted to name it after Black Dog Village, but because of the names, I think, used in other products and stuff, she asked her aunties if it was okay, and they're like, yeah. And we've actually met like the Blue Dog family, and they've kind of given us their blessing. So that's kind of the name, or that's where the name comes from. But we're a blues rock band. I'm the keyboard player and vocalist. I've written a few songs, but a lot of the music and lyrics have been written by my parents. And our last album that came out before the pandemic is called Take a Stand. And we worked with Keith Sokola, and he helped write a song with us. So that was just like an incredible honor, and just, yeah, incredible to work with him with this kind of side job, but also work with him for my day job at NACTI.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. So what other kind of music do you play? Do you do covers? Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we predominantly have, like, do original music. I think we have 4 albums, but maybe 5, I could be mistaken. And we do have, play some covers of, like, blues rock songs, just to kind of fit the different range of audiences and places that we perform at. So we played at libraries, done bar gigs, which maybe aren't always my favorite, but you get interesting dancers. We've done music festivals. We played on the corridor a couple of times for the Open Streets Festival that used to take place in Franklin. Yeah.
Wow. So you're behind the keyboard. So that would be like the Christy McVie kind of backup singing and lead, take a lead song here and there.
Sure. I'll take that as a really big compliment.
Right on. And then your mom and father are in this?
Yeah, my mom's a lead vocalist, and she does, like, percussionist, so, like, she has a tambourine and a little egg and different.
So she's Stevie Nicks, then,
yeah,
with the tambourine.
For sure. And sometimes she'll have a scarf on her microphone stand. So, yeah, you guys totally nailed it. And
right
then my dad's
well,
the guitar player.
Yeah, wow. And you're their daughter, what? So that must be just fun. Go ahead, Haley.
What is the band called?
Oh, it's called Blue Dog.
Blue Dog.
Sometimes I mumble, so I apologize. Yeah.
Wow. So how many years have you been doing that?
I've been doing it since I'm 16, and I'm 32 years old, so I can't really do math. I do more
That's 16 years.
Yeah.
That's 16
yeah.
years.
And so I think the band's been around since 2001. So
wow.
25.
That must be kind of fun to, as a parent, to have their daughter playing along with them. Did you play anything else other than keyboard in school, or?
I like dabbled a little bit with the cello, where they like introduce it to you for orchestra for like a week or something. And I've taken some guitar lessons, and I might want to go back to that. And I just, the bass is something else that I want to like take the time, stop spending so much time on my phone and just go for it, because it's just, yeah, when I hear music, I definitely hear the bass in songs.
Yeah, I love the bass in my old music that I liked. I liked the 70s, like Tower Power and Stevie Wonder and all the great funk bands back there, which was all, you know, you got to have the bass beat.
For sure. Yeah, I feel blessed in that our parents made us kind of listen to good music, so we got a little bit spoiled, I feel like, compared to nowadays.
Yeah, we won't get into that, but yeah, I agree. You know, my XM radio is stuck on either AM 950 or Sirius Radio, where I'm listening to the 70s. Really, it's like, it never fails. It never fails me. There's good music there that I grew up with, but also there was good. It was a good time to listen to music.
Yeah, for sure. And also being, like, introduced to, like, Redbone by my grandpa. Like, that, and I remember him playing Funky Town. I feel like that was one of our songs. So, yeah, very fortunate.
Well, did you say with Uncle Bud, you broke up there just for a second?
Oh, with my grandpa Bud, yeah, in his pickup truck. I remember being little, and he'd play it as we'd, like, drive down to, like, Mankato Powwow or, yeah, drive me
right
to school.
On. Well, won't you take me to Funky Town? Yes. Well, I grew up, too, with the Minneapolis sound, too, when Prince was first starting, and you had all those funk bands, and it was a great place to listen to music. And I still think there's a lot of stuff going on around the cities, but I'm just, like, not in that demographic anymore. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Boomer Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, good one, Haley. Haley with the jokes there.
Gotta have them.
Yeah, so when are you guys playing again?
Yeah, so our next gig is next week, June 8th. We're playing at the Lakefront Park Bandshell in Hudson, Wisconsin from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Otherwise, you can find us and other gigs on our website, bluedognativeblues.com. And July 15th, I'm really excited. We're playing Minnesota Orchestra's International Day of Music. We're playing a set at 5 p.m. And I believe at Nicollet Mall, they're going to have different stages of folks playing from all over. We're really looking forward to it.
Wow, that's fun. So would you say that this is a profession or a hobby? Because that sounds pretty serious.
I mean, maybe we take it serious, but it's just out of love. We really, it's medicine.
Yeah, wow, really good way to put it. And then what were you saying? What kind of songs, covers do you sing?
I sing like a Lynn Barton's, it's a song it's kind of funny because I'm married, but it's called, I need to figure out who the original author is or the writer, but it's, you can have my husband, but please don't mess with my man. Yes. It's pretty funny. It's got pretty funny lines in it. Like, my man is little, he looks like a frog, things like that.
Keep on going.
Something like, oh, hot dog, or yeah. I need to practice.
Right. Well, I gave you opportunity there. Yeah. So are you guys ever going to play at the market? Has that ever come up? Or I know your parents are working still.
Yeah. I mean, I think our drummer, Greg, he's kind of living the retired life. And so I guess this is his full-time gig. We might have to talk to Destiny. I think we played the farmer's market a couple years ago when I was younger.
Wow.
Back when I was younger.
Jeez, well, you're young now. I'm old enough to be your choka, which is grandpa in Ho-Chunk. So, Haley, do you got any questions? Because Haley is dabbling with some music too now, and getting back into it. And like you said, music is medicine. I played trumpet for 50 some years, you know, and I've started, you know, on and off the last 10 years, but it's fun to pick up. I got a guitar. I love playing America, you know, been through the desert with a horse with no name. That's two chords through the whole song, and I got it down.
Right. That's such a good song, too. I feel like it's such a good one. Who sings that?
America.
Okay. Yeah. You know, my dad used to be in a band, my Jaji, and with my other Daga. And I think that band was called the Propanes back in the day. It was like a garage band, but they called it that because in Minnesota it gets so cold, they had to have their propane tanks going in the garage to heat it up. So they were called the Propanes. Yeah, so my Jaji, my dad played bass guitar, and I actually got his old bass right back here, if you're watching on Facebook on our video stream, but needs a couple new strings and she should be good to go. But no, I've been kind of dabbling with playing tabs on electric guitar, and it's hard, man. You got to have the finger structure and just the talent, honestly. It's a hard instrument to play.
Well, Haley, I was going to have you play some music for us. I see the guitar back there, and when we get out of this segment here, play some Squib Cakes or something. Boom, boom, ba-doom, 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 boom, ba-doom.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I know that one, but I think, no, like Alex, you were talking, and Dega, you too, like the 70s stuff. I love the 80s classic rock. I mean, that's my favorite, but I think the only tabs I know how to play are like some Audio Slave and AC/DC.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's good. Hey, we're going to come back after this short break with Alex Bufflehead, Native American Community Development Institute, and talk maybe a little more music and a little more what's ahead in the future here with NADCI. So stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Download the Civic Media app now so you can listen to this brilliance anywhere, anytime.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is pushing for quick passage of the debt ceiling bill after a House vote last night.
There is no good reason, none, to bring this process down to the wire.
President Biden tripped on a sandbag while greeting graduates at the Air Force Academy. He got up and jogged off stage. The White House says he's fine. CBS News correspondent Stephen Portnoy has more.
The spill had him landing on his right side. Secret Service agents rushed to assist, and the 80-year-old president quickly stood up on his own power. To demonstrate his vim, Mr. Biden jogged off stage.
Officials in Davenport, Iowa, have revised the number of missing after a partial building collapse Sunday. They say three people remain unaccounted for after two were located. Police Chief Jeff Bladall.
Just remember, our priority is that families. Our priority is hopefully helping them get through this horrific situation that they're experiencing.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The teenager who was arrested in April carrying a gun outside of Waukesha North High School made his first court appearance this week. Now 18-year-old Ashel Ali, charged with second-degree recklessly endangering safety, bail-jumping felony, resisting an officer, and endangering safety by use of a dangerous weapon. At the time of his arrest, police say Ali was carrying a semi-automatic rifle with 30-round capacity magazine. He had a pillowcase over his head with the eyes cut out. The investigation continues after a car-van crash on a highway near Richland in Barron County earlier this week. A van carrying 10 people was struck by a car carrying four teenagers. Two people were killed. Three others were flown from the scene in critical condition. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. You've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, I'm here with Alex Bufflehead, who's an arts and cultural engagement manager at Native American Community Development Institute here in Minneapolis. And before I let you go, Alex, I want to just talk a little bit about what's coming up with the Four Sisters Market, and then talk again about the gallery and the closing, and everyone can come down there. One of the things I want to bring up, Alex, is that this is open to everyone, all our allies out there. It's not just a Native thing, and we see a lot of our allies, like we did today, that come in and enjoy hanging out with us and doing it in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone is always welcome. Thanks for sharing that, Robert. We have our Four Sisters Farmers Market that's open weekly on Thursdays until October from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., located at 1414 East Franklin Avenue. And this coming week, next Thursday, we'll be having a raffle. And the following week, on June 15th, we'll be doing a food demo. So food tasting, everyone's welcome to join. And our farm, we're having on June 17th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., a volunteer day to help just kind of weed stuff, to help kind of maintain the garden. And I don't have the address in front of me, but it's on our website, nacti.org. And then the gallery, go ahead.
I'm sorry, the farm's really close, and it's down by, Robert talks about it, but everyone, you know, come down to Powwow Grounds and talk to people. They know where it is and where it's happening, and always need help, because this garden, you know, is very important, and it's pretty new, and it's talking about our own sovereignty, but also food sovereignty, which is really important to us and really has become come up in the forefront of the Native community and us Natives.
Absolutely. And the farmers market, the Four Sisters Farm site, we're hoping will also like help provide fresh, healthy food to just local neighbors and be a learning environment for folks to learn indigenous farming, medicine, and our life ways.
Yeah. And so talk a little bit about what you do. So you do you reach out to the community, and how is it you fit with this great group of people that work for NACD? It's always hard for me to say NACD.
NACD. Yeah, NACD. It's a very special place. And so my work at a nonprofit, I feel like we wear lots of hats. So I oversee our communications of like our website, our social media plans, and work with our other program staff in managing our different program social media channels, like the Four Sisters Farmers Market or our Instagram accounts or All My Relations Instagram accounts. And I work with our partners with kind of larger institutions and other Native nonprofits in planning community events to doing even consulting work with maybe non-Native folks in one initiative. I think maybe Robert Lilligren has talked about the Friends of the Falls initiative work. Yeah. And just really having that project be Native centered and Native voices heard and at the forefront. I kind of have my toes and hands in a little bit of everything at NACD.
Well, you know, it's exciting, and I don't know if it's the word exciting is correct, but we are coming up to another election cycle, and I know Native American Community Development Institute is really involved with getting out the vote.
Absolutely. And kind of one of the biggest things that we're trying to push for folks is that I don't know if a lot of your listeners are aware of this, but effective July 1st, people that are convicted of a felony will have the right to vote restored upon completion of their incarceration. And so we're just really wanting folks to know like that they can register to vote for this upcoming November 7th city council elections in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And so our team make voting a tradition. They have a table at a lot of community events where they give swag and help people pledge to vote and register to vote and answer any questions that they might have. And I think their next event, there's probably a few that I'm missing, but for sure they're going to be at the Hinckley Powwow June 16th through the 18th.
That is so important. And I think especially with what's happening with people that were in prison are going to be able to vote, because a lot of times they feel like left out of society. I think that's a game changer. And thank goodness, really, we live in Minnesota. I just never can say enough about that, because our surrounding states are having issues, and Minnesota is being looked at all over the country again as a guiding light, kind of the North Star.
Absolutely.
I like that one. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good one, though, right, Alex, that, you know, we're going to be able to help people register, but also let people know that that's the case. That's a game changer. That's unbelievable, by the way.
Yeah, it really is. And because of what we do in our different programs, we're kind of, we don't really stick in our lanes. We're more organic and flowing. And with our campaigns at the last year's election, we worked with artists of different ages to kind of help share out, like, the phrase of, like, make voting a tradition. Like, we don't own that phrase. It's for everyone to use, that our decisions that we make and who we vote for will impact our future generations. And the people, we need to vote for folks that will represent us on our, like, local, state, tribal, and federal levels.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially what we've seen here in the last few cycles here, it's been really exciting for me to see Gen Z pull, you know, come up. But also, I know the presidential election, we had an unprecedented amount of Native Americans voting in this last presidential election, and all elections matter, but I'm just putting my finger on that one because we flipped some states. I mean, and we had, and I know Make Voting a Tradition helped up north with 9,000 more Native Americans voting that never voted before. And in the urban Indian area, I'm sure you've seen numbers just like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like we've seen, we did this partnership with Illuminative of kind of testing to see, like, do folks respond more to seeing images from artists that reflect themselves or their family members? And we definitely saw an increase of engagement with folks who saw, like, powerful images by Stephen Primo or Jonathan Thunder, like, showing families together, or just, like, kind of the environmental justice issues, but represented through different symbols of, like, showing how important our wild rice beds are and how important it is, like, folks are involved with ICWA. And so it's just, I feel like it just, there's such a wide range of justice issues that, yeah, that need to be.
Well, we're blessed here too, Alex, with you know, the lieutenant governor who's Native American, and also our state senator Mary Kunish, the first woman senator, Native senator, a descendant, and also, you know, we have Heather Keeler and Alex, but also we have two more, and I mean we have four people that look like my students in my homeroom that was an all-Native homeroom. So to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, to have people look like them running also helps too, and gets people excited, because if you're not at the table, you're being served. And, you know, there's all these old OG grannies that always say, you know, if you're not at the table, bring up a folding chair and join in, because they have to make room for us. And that seems like what's been happening. All this hard work, like, you know, your grandpa's generation, Bud's generation, is really coming to fruition right now. And we're able to see it. Even, you know, me as a junior in high school, I talk about this a lot. We couldn't practice our own religion until 1978. And that's in my lifetime.
Yeah. And I feel like fortunate to see mascots being changed.
Yeah. That's like amazing.
Yeah.
And the states has a new law about that. And also just, and I believe hearts of hearts that, you know, during the George Floyd murder and then the protests after that, that had a big deal to do with the Washington team changing their logo, because he was never going to change that logo. And then advertisers saw the wave of BIPOC people getting involved and are sick of it. And their advertisers started to drop out, and they had to change their name. So, yeah, I never thought I'd see that day.
Yeah, definitely. We're stronger together.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a minute left here. Just to give over a little more information you want one more time about how people can see your work, what's going on the Avenue, just a few things. And I really, really appreciate you stopping in, Alex. I know this is not on your top 10 list to be on the radio, so I really, really appreciate it.
Of course. Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor, and it makes me a little bit nervous, but it's probably good practice. But yeah, you can learn more about our programs at NACDI.org, NACDI.org, and visit us at our farmers market on Thursdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., or come see the exhibit at All My Relations Arts Gallery that's open until June 10th. Otherwise, the next one will be opening in July, and it will be it hasn't been announced, so maybe I'll just do a secret no one tell, but it's going to be a solo show by Laura Youngbird. So we're really excited.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's going to be announced soon. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can do a live broadcast on the opening if it works out, because we'll be on at 5 o'clock from now on. So we're excited to be able to amplify all the great work you do out there. So, Alex, thank you so much for stopping in.
Thank you.
Well, it wasn't too bad, right? Everything's cool. Now you can go have a cup of coffee and relax. Stay out of the heat.
Yeah, stay cool, Alex. Thanks so much for coming on, Pina Gigi.
Thank you both. We'll be in touch.
Sounds good. All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Present. I'm Awake. Up next, Wendy Pilot with the Sacred Animal section. We'll be right back. Ho-wa.
Stay with us.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! good one, Haley. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, and she's been doing for almost 8 years here on Native Roots Radio, our sacred animal portion of the show, and all our relatives are sacred. So let's take it away, Wendy.
Thank you, Robert. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihi Hani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. I have a couple of things I'd like to talk to you guys about today. Again, our friend Alice has posted a couple of really fun animal facts that I want to share, so I want to thank Alice for making my life easy and posting these animal facts so that I could share them with everyone. So here goes. A female humpback whale had become entangled in a spider web of crab traps and lines. She was weighed down by hundreds of pounds of traps that caused her to struggle to stay afloat. She also had hundreds of yards of line rope wrapped around her body, her tail, her torso, a line tugging in her mouth. A fisherman spotted her just east of the Farallon Islands outside the Golden Gate and radioed for help. Within a few hours, the rescue team arrived and determined that she was so badly off, the only way to save her was to dive in and untangle her. And this was a very dangerous proposition. One slap of the tail could kill a rescuer. They worked for hours with curved knives and eventually freed her. When she was free, the divers say she swam in what seemed like a joyous circles. She then came back to each and every diver, one at a time, nudged them and pushed them gently, thanking them. The guy who cut the rope out of her mouth says her eye was following him the whole time and he will never be the same. I love that story. That's really showing animal appreciation, and it's really sad how we are polluting our oceans and these poor animals are suffering from it. But I'm happy that the rescue team and the divers were brave enough to get in the water. And even though they knew that one slap of this whale's tail could help, could kill them, they still wanted to help her. So that's a really great story, Alice. Thank you for sharing that. I have another post from Alice. Thanks again, Alice. When relocating a snail, so a little snail in a shell, do so by gently pushing him forward or gently tapping on his hut or his shell so that he can withdraw himself into it. If you pull on it and you feel resistance, the membrane that connects him to his house tears. It makes him crawl and contract in terrible pain, and it's a sentence him to a death within days. So I didn't know this about a snail. I'm going to read that over again. When relocating a snail, do it by gently pushing him forward or gently tapping on his hut or shell so that he withdraws himself into it. If you pull on it and you feel resistance, the membrane that connects him to his house tears. It makes him crawl and contract in terrible pain, and it sentences him to death within a few days. And I didn't know this too. A snail's life expectancy is 3 to 10 years, depending on the species. So that is amazing to me. I didn't know that. And I do like snails. Sometimes I have found one or two here in Long Beach on the sidewalk. And I'm going to have to really be careful because I think I really just did what I wasn't supposed to do. But I want to get them and off the sidewalk, out of the sun, into some shade, into some moist dirt so that they could live. And here's something to know about a deer and her fawn. So this is from a animal wildlife rehabilitation center, and it says, "Dear friends, we just received our first phone call regarding a newborn fawn. Therefore, it is time of the year to post this. Deer deliver their newborns in the strangest of places, so residents will find them and be concerned about them because they'll see a little newborn deer on their lawn, in their garden, under the azalea bush, etc. Most call because they think the fawn is in peril and mom is nowhere to be found. Well, mom is actually off feeding and helping to keep predators away. Those who call ask what they should do for the fawn. Well, we tell them just leave it alone. Do not touch it, move it, or attempt to feed it. Here's the scoop. Deer are not like horses. They do not have their legs under them immediately and need time to rest after birth. Horses get up and go, and that's a sign of a healthy horse. A healthy fawn will curl up, nap most of the day, and just move their heads. They have no scent, and predators cannot find them unless humans interfere. Mom leaves during the day for two primary reasons. One, to feed, and to keep her scent a distance from the fawn. So mom will come back unless something tragic happens to her, but don't expect her until dusk, and certainly don't expect her if humans are around, hovering around. So if you are fortunate enough to have a gift of a fawn, please enjoy the experience and respect Mother Nature and let mom do what comes naturally. She will move the fawn daily, so you may see it in different locations. But please let your friends know about this so that they'll leave the fawn alone." Listen, if I didn't know that and I saw a fawn in our backyard, Robert, I would be the first one to go over there and try to give it water and call the rehabilitation center. But here's another thing, too, about fledglings. So fledglings are birds that have their wings, and people will find them on the ground and try to save them. But leave me there. That's what this post says. So leave the fledgling there. I am a fledgling. I didn't need your help. My mom was helping me. The process of fledgling begins with jumping out of the nest. Then it takes the fledgling 3 to 4 days to learn how to fly. So they're going to be on the ground for 3 to 4 days. Well-meaning people often rescue. However, this is the time in my life when my mom teaches me how to fear, forage, and fly. Yes, there are dangers living in the wild, but growing up wild is a critical part of the learning process. So if you see this little bird on the ground, it's finding its way, and it's going to take it 3 to 4 days to learn how to fly. Now, I have other things that I'm going to talk to you about on the next time, and it's about how dogs don't like certain smells, and you'll be surprised because they're probably the same smells that you and I don't like. But with that, thank you very much, Robert. It's always my pleasure to talk about our sacred animals. Until next time.
Wow, thanks, Wendy. Really appreciate that, and always great having you on. And I know you're with our family in New York here and doing some great stuff, and so I'm really excited, and thank you so much. Haley, what a great show we had today. I can't say enough, having Alex on. What a exciting day we had here.
Karen.
It wasn't
good. Like,
ooh, I like the echo. Hear my voice twice. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier now.
Right on.
It's time you checked out Champion's Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champion's is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champion's Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champion's Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.